Morning, guys.
Morning.
One of the beautiful things about being a Christian is that we have the Word of God as our source. And to me, there's nothing more important than to not miss anything. That the Holy Spirit, that once Jesus comes into your heart, the most important thing we can do is to foster that relationship for us as far as He wants to take us. And that takes a lifetime, and it's called process of sanctification, to where we get deeply and deeply and deeply, more deeply. And I really believe that the Lord takes us and puts us in various levels, and then all of a sudden He'll promote you. And if you're in obedience, He'll promote you again, and He'll put you in a place that you wouldn't expect, just to challenge you. And these things are going on. So I'm just bringing to you what has been a beautiful section of the Holy Bible. Okay, Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, by the way, and Herod being a tetrarch of Galilee. You know what a tetrarch is? It's like a mini prince. It's like a mini prince. That's what a tetrarch is. That's what my Bible says in the footnotes. Yeah. So, that's what he was. The region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and the tetrarch of Abilene during the high priesthood, Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into the region around the Jordan. See, God was anointing John. Right in the womb of his mother, the anointing started. How do I know that? Because when John was in the womb and Mary showed up with Jesus, what happened to him? He leaped for joy in his womb because he had felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, even in the womb. And that's another miraculous moment. There's all kinds of miraculous moments, as you well know. So here he is, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Mountain and hill shall be laid low, and crooked shall be made straight. Now, what does all that mean? Well, to me, it means everything that is in confusion, Jesus is going to make it level. Jesus is going to educate us through the power of his Holy Spirit. And that's what he can do. And that's what he's going to do. And so we go all the way through here, and we come here to the section here where John the Baptist, now you get to understand one of the things about John the Baptist after reading this chapter a little more deeply is how, man, that guy, he didn't miss words. I mean, he was tough. You brood of vipers, how can you can't escape the wrath of God to come. I mean, he was tough on him. So he said here, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds, and I got questions on that at the table. What does that mean for us? So I'm looking forward to never being cut down by the Lord because I'm not producing fruit, I guess. If that's what it means to me, anyway. I want to be a fruit producer, don't you? Amen? Throughout your life, being a fruit producer. That's what God calls us to be. He didn't call us to, you get your salvation and that's it. No. That's just a starting point. You all agree with that. It's a starting point. And we had a lot of that yesterday with Greg and I out to the Godmobile. Okay. And he says, cut down, throw the fire. And the crowds asked him, well, what then shall we do? They were cut to the quick. He was really coming down on them hard. And they were, all of a sudden, their sinfulness was coming forth to them in a very strong and powerful way. And then he goes through about all the sharing stuff that he went through, give to two next one, and collect no more soldiers and all of this other stuff. As the people were, and I'm skipping down here to verse 15, as the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. And then he says this, an extremely challenging verse in the Bible. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, the word fire there is pretty well explained in the following verses. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So what they used to do back in those days, they would hold up the, hey, how you doing? They would hold up the wheat and they would shake it in the air. And the winnowing fork would get all the chaff out and the wind would take it and just blow it away. And that's what that meant. But he says here that's what it takes in order to get that done. Now, so yeah, the baptism with fire, and that's also, it points to judgment, verse 9, note. And with the threshing floor was cleaved and the chaff would be burned. So that's what that was about. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been approved by him for Herodias, had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the evil things that Herod had done, added to this, and that he locked him up in John in prison. We know what happened after that point. And then now when the people were baptized, when Jesus had been baptized, he was praying. Greg and I were talking about this the other day. What was he praying? He's talking to the Father. Is this the time for you to renounce me? Makes me wonder what Jesus was sitting there praying. And the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from the heaven saying, "You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased." Well, that's just one gospel that is said. I went and did a little exegesis on where is that else in the rest of the gospels. Well, it's there. Just to give you an example, like Matthew 17:5, it's there. And Mark 1:11, and again in Mark 9:7. So that somewhere in John, they said, according to my Bible, it's in all four gospels that the Father did that. And that's showing how important it was for the people to hear what was going on. And what amazes me is that how come that is not talked about anymore in the gospels? How come they didn't say, well, the voice came out, here he is, he's the Son of God. The Father told us, how come we don't recognize him as such? And then the people just went on their own ways. Isn't that strange? I mean, that just blows me over that something that profound happens, and yet the people didn't recognize him. Still, that's how powerful Satan was. Okay, now there's a section in here that talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I left at your tables this teaching here that I've done an exegesis on the Holy Spirit and his gifts. And I, from this point, it's very, very important that we find out what this power is, because in Acts 1:8, he says that we're supposed to have the power of the Holy Spirit. So wait, he says, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So it's separate and distinct. Well, it was for me between 1973 and 74, because it happened to me in 1974 when that happened to me. So the most important thing that I can do is to be aware that God has something greater for me than my startup, which was salvation. And I can't tell you how happy I am to know that the Lord made that clear to me way back then. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about the gospel. And so I'll just talk about the discerning gifts here, the word of knowledge, knowing something specific without prior knowledge, word of wisdom, a divine answer or a solution or a specific reason or event, the discernment of spirit, seeing or discerning a demonic spirit or made aware. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I would be in one of these county fairs and somebody walking in front of me and the Lord says, pray for them. They're in grave darkness. And I didn't know how to pray for them, so I went into my gift of the Holy Spirit, and I prayed in tongues. And that was one. That's one of the. Is it to me the gift of tongues is to intercede for someone. And intercession is a very needed thing today, very needed. So what happens when I do that is I bypass my brain, and it goes into my spirit man. And goes directly to the Father. It's a perfect prayer. And it's the language he gave me, not English. And that's been going on for 48 years. And it just gets better and better. It's real. So that's what's going on with me anyway. So I can only tell you myself. But, and then there's the declarative gifts here. Prophecy is a message of encouragement. It is not corrective and should not be used the phrase, thus saith the Lord. I stay away from saying that. Many times it should be scripture. We are all to prophesy, just as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more that you should prophesy. Paul's words. Then we have the dynamic gifts here. The tongues are a message from God, unknown to the person. But you can find out what you're saying. You just ask the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you what you said. I have sometimes this conversation going back and forth between me and God. I said, what did I say to you? And he tells me. It's beautiful. And then there is the healing and supernatural endowments of divine health. So that's something that I've seen happen in my life several times. And then miracles, divine interventions that alters our natural circumstances. Boy, have I had a bunch of those happen in my life. But I'm not here to spend time on my life. I'm here to share the gospel with you guys. So faith, there is faith that is to start getting into the kingdom of God. And then there is the gift of faith, as Jesus said in Mark 11:23, and the power to work miracles. So as the Bible tells us, signs and wonders will follow them that believe. And there's different levels of it. It's a very fascinating subject. So then I go over here on the other side of this the next page, and I go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. This being the first one is very clear what happens at the very beginning of conversation. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into the body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. And then there's water baptism. John baptized Jesus, and Paul made it clear in Romans 6 how important it is in the life of the believer. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's a water baptism. And then there's number three, which is the Holy Spirit baptism. Acts 2:39 says, as the promise is for you and for all our children, for all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's us. That's for that. That puts it into today. At least it does for me. So I just believe in God that say, hey, that's something I need to wake up to, because then it puts it up today. As many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, we're all called. We're all called to have the truth, okay? So that's the most beautiful thing here that I'm getting. It. Now, here are some of the verses referring to it in the Gospels. Matthew 3:11, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, which I just got through reading. Mark 1:8, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16, which is the one I just read. John 1:33, he on whom you see the Spirit descend remain, he is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Acts. Okay, there are at least three verses pertaining to the timing of it at that time. So Acts 2:39, Acts 8:14, and Paul and Silas came and laid their hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit, as he had not yet fallen on any of them. This is 5 years after Pentecost. 5 years. So they're walking around believers, but they didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. Amazing. Acts 19:2, Paul asked the disciples, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. There it is in Acts 19:2. So, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues, prophesying, 25 years after receiving Christ. Wow. What a long time to wait for the endowment of the Holy Spirit. So, yes, there are three separate and distinct happenings that should take place in the life of the believer. And so what I'm trying to show to you guys is that this particular verse in Luke 3 is so important, because, guys, what matters to me, what really, really, really matters, And I mean, this is, to me, this is the key to walking the Christian life. You can't walk the Christian life denying the power thereof. It's just not strong enough. And the Bible shows us in the 2 Timothy, this beware of the people who don't want to have anything to do with the power of God. There's a lot of them out there who don't have a clue what to do with it. So they just kind of shove it aside. Well, I don't worry about that. And so the important thing is that there's, for those of us who are seasoned Christians, and I'm looking at a whole bunch of them right here in front of me, you guys are seasoned Christians. You have been with the Lord a long time, but we can still learn more. The question is, are we open to the things of the Holy Spirit? Are we open to the things of God? And I can't tell you in my life for the last 49 years how important that has been, because God has spoken to me. Can't tell you how many times I keep a log. I got about that thick of notebooks where I would write messages from the Lord. They're all profound. And he says, date them. So I date each one. But from this point, I just want to be, you know, very aware of the fact that this is the thing. The thing is to follow the gospel, follow Jesus Christ. And what do we have here on this earth to follow after? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us and guide us and direct us to all wisdom, knowledge, and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which we are well aware of. But don't forsake the gifts. They're just as rich as the fruits are, and they are not for you. They are, now if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the end of that chapter in verses 8 through 11, it says, the last three words are critical, just as he wills, is what it says. So the important thing is that he turns that on and off just as he wills, not me. And I'm very happy to tell you that I've been made aware of what that means. And it's just like, wow, I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit has revealed himself to me in such a manner that I have, that he promoted to be an ordained minister. But many, many times, I don't know how I should pray for people. I just don't know how. And so I just intercede for them with this beautiful gift that I have. But the thing is, you can intercede for somebody with the word of God, too. You can speak the word of God. Guys, you can declare God's word with just as much power as I can speaking in tongues. I mean, that's the truth. If you declare God's word over somebody and you believe God that he's going to send forth his word to affect that person's life with the word that you speak over him, an intercessory prayer, God, that's powerful stuff. Why? Because of Isaiah 55:11. Can anybody recite that? Isaiah 55:11. Well, all right, I'll tell you what it says. My word shall not come back to me void, come back to me void. It will prosper in the thing for which it is sent, and it will not come back to me void. That's a beautiful promise. So you take that and you couple it with God's word. You thank God for his word and what it says, and believe what it says, and intercede on behalf of the situation or the person or whatever it is that you're dealing with. And you ask God to do this beautiful thing, and then watch God work. All he wants you to do, what is the most difficult? It is impossible to please God without, thank you, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in my life, if I need something to happen, I just have to thank God that he's going to do what he did. Greg and I, we prayed before we got into that Godmobile yesterday afternoon. And I got to tell you, we had some God moments. One little 9-year-old came up and accepted Christ. You know what he was doing. And he was 9. And I said, what's your name? And he told me what his name was, Ryder or something like that. Remember him? Ryder. And he came up and he said, and after he accepted Jesus, he ran and got his brother. And he brought him back to the Godmobile. And he wanted him to accept Jesus too. And then there was another kid who accepted Jesus. And he came back to our window. He says, I want to do this all over again. This is fun. This Holy Spirit works in beautiful ways. And I, you know, I'm excited to tell you. But I have to be willing to know, to listen to the Holy Spirit in such a manner that the word that I am supposed to say is going to be proper for that exact moment in time. And I better be versed in it. so that his word can go forth and teach and cleanse and set the captive free. 99% of what I do that is that. If ever I help this, prophesy to somebody, 99.99%, it's always exhortation. I'm always lifting somebody up. And that is part of the gifts of being a prophet, because I've been involved in prophecy for that period of time. But I can tell you, loving people means sharing Christ. Loving people means doing even the smallest thing the Lord delights in you. Even the smallest thing that you might do, even a cup of water, and the Lord delights even in doing that. So, but whatever it is that God has called you to do, do it, and do it with all your heart. But mostly, get in tune with the Holy Spirit. I'm losing my voice. Get in tune with the Holy Spirit and ask him to lead, guide, and direct you as to what he's going to say at any given divine appointment, at any given moment that you're called upon. And be ready. And the only way you can be ready is through reading his word, being aware of what his word says, and just say, okay, God, I just need you to go before me on this. And I'm thankful that you're going to accomplish that thing for which you have sent me out to do. And he will accomplish it. And it just takes a little faith. All right. Have I made myself clear? So I got three questions in there. And I'm going to end this a little soon because I'm running out of voice. And I ask you guys just to really open your hearts up to a deeper walk in the Holy Spirit, because it is there and it's rich and it's rewarding. And he wants to use you mightily. I know that. And I just want to close this in prayer. Okay. So, Father, we ask you to bless these men and to bless them with his teaching and to fill them up full of the presence, the leading, the guiding, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if for those who says, well, I never received this baptism of the Holy Spirit, simply ask him. And the Holy Spirit will come to you, and he'll baptize you, and he will see. For it says in your word, he will give you, if you come before him, he's not going to give you a snake. The Holy Spirit ask the gift to the person what he has prayed for. So Lord, we're careful to give you all the praise with our lives. And we're thankful, Lord, that you are doing what you are doing in each one of our lives to make our lives meaningful, because your word is so mighty. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.